I'd like to invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Lord, speak to us through your word today. When I make this sign, what does it mean to you? Peace, eh? Peace. Nicholas Perrin explains that in 1941, when the Nazis had overrun Belgium, the French language Belgian BBC radio began to broadcast that they would like everybody to make this sign as a sign that said V for victory. Hope for victory in the face of great odds. The idea swept across Europe, and by that summer, this happened in January, by that summer, Winston Churchill was doing this in every time he made a public appearance. V for victory. However, then in the 1960s, the anti-Vietnam War movement picked up the sign, and it stood for peace. In fact, Perrin says he recalls his long-haired high school janitor. That's just a hair envy thing happening there for me. And he remembers the janitor going down the hall saying to the students, "Peace, baby." Yeah, I remember that. But then it kept changing. In the 1970s, or just before, Woodstock took it up as a symbol of cultural revolution. In the 1970s, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard took it up as a symbol of overthrowing the Shah, their leader, which they did. The 1980s, Poland took it up as an anti-communist symbol. The 1990s, the East Germans were using this symbol as the Berlin Wall came down. And more recently, the short-lived Arab Spring used this symbol as well. The sign represents different things to different people, different places, even at the same time at times. Similarly, the answer to the question, when will the kingdom of God come, is not the same. It has more than one answer. When will the kingdom of God come? One day the Pharisees asked Jesus this question. Why did they ask that? Well, scholar Liefeld says that it could be that by the time Luke recorded this gospel, the believers wondered if they'd missed the return of Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which was written around then, there's reference to the church wondering if Jesus had come back and they'd missed it. And some questioned whether he would ever return at all. Not only that, Perrin says the Pharisees might have been trying to get Jesus to say, "Yes, I'm establishing the kingdom," because they wanted some evidence against him to take to the Romans to say he's starting an insurrection. Good question, though. We've been talking about the kingdom of God for months now. When will it come? When does the kingdom of God come? Let's see what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 20. One day the Pharisees asked Jesus, "When will the kingdom of God come?" Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, 'Here it is,' or 'It's over there,' for the kingdom of God is already among you." Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see the day when the Son of Man returns, but you won't see it. People will tell you, 'Look, there's the Son of Man,' or 'Here he is,' but don't go out and follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other, so it will be on the day when the Son of Man comes. But first, The Son of Man must suffer terribly and be rejected by this generation. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, the people enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings, right up to the time Noah entered his boat, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building, until the morning Lot left Sodom. Then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes, it will be business as usual, right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, a person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return home. Remember what happened to Lot's wife? If you cling to your life, you will lose it, and if you let your life go, you will save it. That night, two people will be asleep in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour together at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Where will this happen, Lord? The disciples asked. Jesus replied, just as the gathering of vultures shows there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. When will the king come? The king is here today. Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. They were looking for someone to powerfully overthrow the Roman Empire. They wanted a political solution. Stern points out the Pharisees wanted a precise date for this political kingdom. He says, for the kingdom of God is already among you. Jesus himself is the king. And so where he is present, the kingdom is present. And all who receive and believe in him are in the realm of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is among you. Now, some translate this word within rather than among, but it's not the best way to translate it in this context, because he wouldn't be saying to the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is within you. It was not. They were rejecting him and his kingdom. But he said, it is among you. Christ's invitation to you and me is the same as it was to them. It is to embrace the kingdom, for the king is here today. Who is Jesus to you? But how do we do this? Don't be distracted from the king. People will tell you, look, there's the Son of Man, or here he is, but don't go out and follow them. Jesus tied the coming of the kingdom with the return of the Son of Man. And by calling himself the Son of Man, Jesus is declaring that he himself is the eternal Lord of all the nations, whose kingdom will last forever. And he's fulfilling the vision God gave Daniel, who said, as my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a Son of Man coming from the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient One, this is God, and was led into his presence. He was given authority, honor, and sovereignty over all the nations of the world, so that people of every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. This is Jesus, whose kingdom will never be destroyed. And instead of just being the subject of speculation, well, has he come? What will it look like? It is unmistakably clear that it will be vivid like lightning. You've been in a lightning storm and seen how it lights up the sky from one side to the other. Suddenly the darkness is vividly lit up, and so it will be. Perrin says the image of lightning, of course, illustrates suddenness, but also Lightning is used at times in the Bible to symbolize the presence of the Lord. When Moses went up the mountain to get the law from the Lord, he told the people, look, don't even come near. And lightning signaled God's presence. It says, on the morning of the third day, thunder roared and lightning flashed and a dense cloud came down on the mountain. So when Jesus predicted lightning, we'll let you know, it'll be that vivid. He's saying, in effect, I'm God and I'm coming back and the kingdom is among you. The longing for the appearance of the Son of Man may prompt some of us to say, look, he's there, or he's over here. And we buy more prophecy books that way. But when he returns, his presence will be unmistakably clear. Paul Stevens points out that in Egypt, the pyramids and the tombs are on the west side of the Nile. Because in ancient culture and religion, everything was pointed to the sunset of life, the end. And some traditional religions look back on the spirits of the ancestors for guidance. But through Christ, we look ahead to where God is leading and the fact that he's coming back. We look ahead to renewal of all things through Christ. All things through Christ. Where we won't know fear, or shame, or hopelessness, or homelessness, or loss. So don't be distracted from the king by speculators or trends. The king is coming, and the king has come. The king is here today. He sent his spirit to us. Embrace him, embrace his kingdom. But how do we do this? The king suffered to secure the kingdom. But first, the Son of Man must suffer terribly and be rejected by this generation. Nothing distracted Jesus from his mission. He was laser focused on going to the cross because he knew it was essential. He was rejected by his own people. And as he died on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet here he was lifting into his own body all of the sin and sorrow. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows. And Isaiah continues, yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. James MacDonald quotes Dr. Truman Davis on crucifixion. He writes, as the arms fatigue, great waves of cramps sweep over the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless throbbing pain. With these cramps comes the inability to push himself upward. As he hangs by his arms, his pectoral muscles are paralyzed. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but it cannot be exhaled. And Jesus fights to raise himself on his crucified feet, and so he hangs there. And the idea is that the person dies of suffocation. It is not the pain that kills. Hours of limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, searing pain as the tissue is torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down against the rough timber. MacDonald adds, let it never be in doubt for your sins and for mine. Jesus suffered. The king is the entrance to the kingdom. The king is the way of the kingdom. The king said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Everything about the kingdom of God rises or falls on the person of Jesus Christ, the King. Who, then, is Jesus Christ to you? He's not merely a good guy. Jesus Christ can be no less than the divine Lord and Savior of the world. He can be no less than the divine Lord and Savior of the world. Who's the King to you today? And the King will return to stay. It will be business as usual. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. And the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. Yes, it will be business as usual right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Genesis 6 through 9 describes the society of Noah's day. It was a world gone wrong. Everything went sideways. In a short summary of how this civilization was so toxic and godless, Genesis 6, 5 and 6 says, "The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart." Our Father in heaven grieved deeply that his perfect created image had been so corrupted in humanity. What will society be like when the Son of Man returns? Like it was in Noah's day, and like the days of Lot in Sodom, of the entire population of that city, Lot and perhaps his family had faith. Everybody else ran after the local gods and the latest trends. And the story is told in Genesis 18. God sent angels to rescue Lot from that and his family from that city, from mob violence, from sexual assault, and probably murder. And then God brought the lightning. The days of Noah and the days of Lot are all about God's intervention in history, in society. And Jesus drew from these historic events to illustrate that again, when the Son of Man returns, God will intervene in human history. The King will come to stay. Os Guinness relates the story of prisoner 174517 in the Auschwitz extermination camp. The prisoner saw an icicle hanging outside the window of his hut in the winter. He reached for it and broke it off in his deep thirst, thinking he could use the icicle to quench his thirst. Before he could draw his hand inside, a guard grabbed it and smashed it on the frozen earth. And the prisoner cried out, "Why?" And the guard said, "Here there is no why." Prisoner Primo Levi was one of only three who survived of their group of 650 Italian Jews who had been taken together to the camp in 1944. Primo lived to write and remind people of this horrible reality in an effort to prevent it from being repeated. I've often wondered how many times through the generations it's been preached that the kingdom is coming, it's here, the signs are getting horrible. Because so often it has been horrible. You read about different epochs in world history where everything is unsafe. We've been so relatively sheltered. Human sin is held back only by the righteous purpose of God and the presence of the kingdom of God. The question is, do we engage in the kingdom? Have you embraced the King, which is a kingdom of goodness, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Spirit, it says in Romans 14, 17. It takes faith looking forward, leaning in. The King will come to stay, and the King is here today. more than one answer to the question, when will the kingdom of God come? The king is here today. And the king will come to stay. Anticipate sudden change. On that day, a person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return home. Remember what happened to Lot's wife? If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. It looks like Jesus was predicting both short-term and long-term results here. His listeners that day would be subject to the invasion of the great Roman army in AD 70, not many decades down the road. And he said it would be useless to run to the city for shelter at that time. No use going to Jerusalem. Remember Lot's wife? You know the story. God saved Lot and his family, warned them not to look back, but as they ran from the city, she wanted one last look at the old home place. She looked back and she died immediately. It says she became a pillar of salt, lifeless. So Jesus said, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. Let go control and let God save your life, is his message. Jesus' listeners, many would have saw the city of Jerusalem as their safe place. This is the holy city, after all. This is where we run, God's refuge. But they were looking in the wrong place for God's salvation. Look to Jesus. We may look back on our families. As Aftar shared, none of them have families who carried the faith of Jesus forward. Many of us do. We might say, well, my family has always been faithful. That's not where you look for refuge. You look to Jesus. My traditions have been good. I've had good habits. Wrong focus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? Jesus was declaring faith in him and not the familiar, not the surroundings that made his hearers think they were more secure. They had the holy city, after all, as their safe place. The completion of the kingdom is imminent. In other words, we don't know when. The king will come to stay. Look to Jesus. And Jesus referred to people enjoying banquets, parties, weddings, everyday activities, eating, drinking, buying, selling, farming, building. These are good things. These are good things. The Bible says so. Solomon wrote this. They're gifts from God. He said, even so, I have noticed one thing at least that is good. It is good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them and to accept their lot in life. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. But the good gifts become greedy gods if we use them as substitutes for focusing on the presence of Jesus himself. So Jesus tells them, when this happens, don't take time to pack. Don't go home if you're at work. When the Son of Man returns, two will be sleeping in the same bed. One will be taken, the other left. Two will be grinding flour, one taken, the other left. Close associations don't give assurance of life. As Barclay put it, the judgment of God is an individual judgment. We cannot discharge our duty to God by proxy or even by association. An unknown commentator, courtesy of Barclay, said, no one will foresee it, everyone will see it. It will be unmistakable when the king returns to stay. Perrin points out so rightly that in the person of Jesus himself, the kingdom of God was fully present right there in front of the Pharisees, the teachers of religious law. and Jesus' disciples. He writes, "This is because Jesus embodies the kingdom in his person. He is not just the king, he is the kingdom." He described how his kingdom is active for us now. He said this, "All who love me will do as I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them." Then Jesus continued, "I am telling you these things now while I am still with you, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. The King is here today. He has sent his Holy Spirit. You have received Jesus Christ. His Spirit has come into your life. We step into his fullness through faith in him and obedience. He fills and he works through us, and the King will come to stay. He'll come to stay." The world was shocked when Primo Levi, the man who survived Auschwitz, committed suicide in 1987, over 40 years after he escaped or survived the death camp. He'd been an atheist when he went to the camp, and the dark experience of the death camp, combined with his rejection of God, bred hopelessness. He had no context for meaning or purpose, only a deep hole where nothing made sense. But God redeemed his world. In the middle of horror, even, he is present. The King is here today. In the middle of stressful situations, the King is here today. We may feel lonely, but we are never alone because the King is here today. And the King will come to stay. He is the King. Is he the King of all in your life? He is nothing other than the perfect, divine Savior, God the Son, who has come to save. Who is Jesus to you today? The worship team will come and lead us in our song of response. And while they do, would you please stand with me? And I want to invite you to pray with me this prayer. It may be that you have not embraced the King, Jesus, and it is your opportunity today to do that. Or it may be that you want to reaffirm that Jesus is your King, and you are part of his kingdom, because where the King is, there is his kingdom. We're in his realm. The King is here today. He will return to stay visibly, but he's here today. I'd invite you, if you would, to repeat out loud, phrase by phrase, this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the King. We receive your kingdom and the power of your Holy Spirit to love and serve you for now and forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.